You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Reading will be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31, chapter 2, verse 6 through 17. Father God, again, it's our privilege to thank you for the privilege we have here this morning to come as free men because of the efficacy of the blood of Christ, because of the fact that your word, your truth makes us free. I want to acknowledge this and express it in our limited way. At the same time, recognizing that limits to the fact that we need you every second as you cleanse us and sanctify us to your purpose in order that we might be the vessel you'd be pleased to use. Thank you in your faithfulness in this matter. And pray that at this day, at this time, right now, the Holy Spirit will do his office work as he takes to the things of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and makes them alive. Help us to worship in spirit and truth, Lord, and to give you the glory that is yours by divine right. Rebuke the evil one now as you hold your Son up. Thank you for attending this, Father, in every little detail. And this because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, picking up in this series of studies on the covenants of the Scripture, you recall that last week we traversed back to that time before the overthrow of the cosmos, at the council of that meeting between the Godhead. And we saw last week that the first thing on the agenda, because a council speaks of discussion, and the first thing that they discussed in that council, we learned that from what God reveals in his word to us, the things that were under discussion there and the results of them. First thing that was decided upon was the role of each person of the Godhead. Just in case somebody missed it or were not here when we said it, at the outset, let us get it clear in our mind what the Trinity, who the Trinity is. The word God is a uniplural noun. It is a status in the same sense that the human being is a status. In the same sense that a horse is a status. It's terrible to compare God with a horse, but in order to understand what the word God means, in other words, you have to have certain attributes to be God. You have to have certain attributes to be a human being. You have to have certain attributes to be a horse. So it in a reality, it's not a put down, it's help you to understand. People understood that there'd be no problem about the Trinity. We simply have God is spirit. Now, you and I don't know anything about a spirit. It's foggy to us. We never saw one, probably never will be in this life. If he does, he has to manifest himself in some form. But in that council room, the role of each one in the Godhead was worked out. As Shakespeare said, and I mentioned this before too, that as you cross the stage of life, each character has his role to play. You have a role to play. And God has taken a role to play. The Father, we learn from 1 Corinthians, you want to write these references down, they'll be on tape though if you are getting tapes. 1 Corinthians 11:3, you find that the role of God the Father is the headship. Just as the role of his Son is the headship of man. Just as the role of the man is the headship of the woman. So to help you there. That's the role that God the Father plays. He's the headship. Secondly, God the Son. He is a manifestation of God. There's no way that man could ever see God except through the manifestation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Without controversy, great is this mystery, that God is manifest in the flesh. This is the role of the Son. The role of the Holy Spirit. He is the great energizer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Incidentally, in passing, of all the callings of God, this dispensation has called us to be raised and seated together where Christ is now. That's the highest exalted position you can have. I hope you appreciate that. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, not just the unity of the Spirit, unto a mature man and a mature husband, which is the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll tell you, that boggles the mind. Think about it. God, the Holy Spirit, is the energizer. He is the one who puts all these things into perspective. His first mention is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2b, when the Spirit of God moved, energized. The great demonstration, of course, is in the resurrection. That was his role. So that was the first thing on the agenda. The second, to give it assurance, so that it would never fail, is referred to in Hebrews 13:20, when it was decided in the Godhead there that the efficacy of the blood of Christ would be the foundation of everything accomplished. Now, if you can, in the best spirit you can, and this is impossible, but anyway, so that you appreciate this, that's the guarantee. As if you listen quietly to what's going on here. The role, now the foundation. The foundation, what? Can no man lay. See how beautiful it all folds in when you begin to see it, the picture? God, in his infinite love, in his counsel, decided to create certain types of statuses. One was the angels in the order of their place. Secondly, what we call the demonic world today in his place. Thirdly, human beings in their place. And knowing in his infinite mind exactly what would take place, he set forth certain covenants covering the entire time of time. See, God is an eternity. Time is not a factor. This is why he can say things that are going to happen in the future in the past tense. Because time is not a factor. You and I can't take hold of that. That's a dimension that we can say it, but it won't fit. Nevertheless, this infinite plan was revealed through eight covenants in the revealed plan of God. And in the hidden purpose of God, the calling of that group was hidden in Christ. Not in a covenant with men, but a covenant within the Godhead itself. These things and these proof texts we'll be covering, of course, as we travel through these covenant teachings. The ages, Hebrews 11:3, were prepared at that time too. Every age, every dispensation worked out in that council room at that time. Now, what this is all about is this. God, knowing that every created being who has a choice will rebel, God knew that. It was no surprise to him. But he prepared for it. And in that preparation, through all these covenants, here's what will finally be. There will be a record of every rebellion, every failure because of rebellion. So that when we move into eternity, and we can see the record, pre-written and actually worked out in history, so that to rebel in that circumstance where time is no more, it's just like a man in his height of his own glory, with all of his faculties working perfect, to decide to walk down to First National Bank and jump off. And nobody's going to do that in their right mind. And there'd be no crazy people there. Everybody would be well balanced. He'd be brought to what? The fullness of the stature of Christ. Whatever that means. You see, it's so big. When you begin to see this picture, it's almost scary. And yet, it just, from the top of your head to your toes, it brings you alive. That we, us mortal people, have been exalted to that high calling. The highest angelic being, mind you, will be less than us. If you want to put your crow a little bit, you got nothing to crow about. It's all a gift. But nevertheless, that's what it's about. Now, the first covenant that God worked out, there are many details about other things of that discussion we'll be dropping along as we go through these covenants. But the first one on the agenda is the Edenic covenant. We were reading some of the content of it this morning. I might say in passing, too, that in that council, I spoke of this in a out of the way, but make it clear to you. The eternal purpose in that council was twofold, a revealed plan and a hidden purpose. Don't forget that, because that's what causes all the division in Christendom today, not recognizing those two facts. That's failure to right the divide. In this covenant, the first thing on the agenda as to covenants was the Edenic covenant. It was a time of probation, a dispensation of innocence. Notice the difference between the age and the administration. In the covenant, these are the pertinent facts. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That puts you in this context of Eden, having dominion over every what? Every living thing. As far as the probation, you see, time of testing. And since God knew the answer, he wrote it out ahead so that when it happens, you'll see that God is infinite in his wisdom. You see, it's one thing to claim that God is infinite in his wisdom, but to see him tell exactly what's going to happen ahead, see, and you read it, you don't have any question about that anymore. He knows. He is all. Now, so the first thing that in that covenant was that man was to have dominion. Second is that he created man in his own image. Turn to Colossians just a minute, chapter 1. You ever wonder how God, if he's spirit, how can he create God, man in his image? The spirit, we don't know anything about it. But Colossians gives us the key. And notice how that every truth is manifest in Christ. Not some truth, but every truth. He is the manifestation of it. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 14. In whom, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Plural. who is the image of the invisible God. The God is spirit, he's invisible. And the firstborn, this word firstborn is not to generate, but to, as in like being born again. But it is to, it's the original. He is the federal head of this whole race. And Christ, God the Father is his head. So they're all in all, say this way. And in, not by him, but in him, were the all things created. I'm not going to stop to explain that article there, but it's very significant in its place, and we'll get to it eventually. In him were the all things created that are in heaven. And the all things created in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, the all things were created through him. That word by is agency, speaks of his agency. It was through him and all for him or unto him. So the whole scheme of all this was for what? For Christ. He is the one. Because he's the manifestation. Otherwise, we could never enjoy this except through him. Notice, though, he is the original, that word firstborn. He is the original of something that manifests God. Because he is God. He took on creature form, in other words, in order to create. Now, you see the difference between man as Adam was created and us is that Adam was clothed in what? Light. Where do you find that? Psalm what? 104, and you'll find out that his clothing is the light. That's why Adam and Eve, when they were naked, they weren't ashamed. We'll see in the fall next week how they knew they were naked. They lost the light. We'll see the death of Christ was twofold. Well, I'm not running ahead now. Pick it up next week on that. In any case, in creating man in his image, Christ had to take on creature form. He took on creature form in order to create. He took on human form in order to redeem. Don't forget those two things. We'll repeat that, of course, when we get into his crucifixion. But he took on creature form in order to create. He took on human form in order to redeem. But what we're discussing now is how Adam was made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. Because God had to first be a creature to create from. To create a spirit wouldn't have done anything. See? Beautiful. Now, in this Edenic covenant, you'll notice that no meat is on the diet at all. Why? Because the spirit world does not need meat. And God is showing the reason why meat was given after the flood. And we'll deal with that when we get to the Noah covenant. There's a reason why man eats meat today. And to teach vegetarianism today is just as rebellious against God as to teach meat eating prior to the flood. Notice how the emphasis is being placed today, forbidding to eat meat, you know. That would bring a lot of questions to some people's mind, but you see the necessity of eating meat. Do you ever notice all spirit mediums, they refrain from what? Meat. Now, that's another story. We'll take you in to get to it. Notice carefully now, they were placed in this garden. The greatest place of atmosphere, everything was perfect. God, when God creates something, it's perfect. Everything was just Utah today, they say environment, you know, is what counts. Well, if that were true, we've all been born into horrible environment. Well, we classify in different environments because we want to explain our weaknesses and lay it on the environment. The reason men are more evil today than they were in Adam's day, and they are, not because of environment, but there are two mighty rivers. We'll see this in the Adamic creation. They run through the creation straight through. One is fountainhead, is Christ. The other is Satan. Now, you cannot, the reason why you cannot be at all tempted by Satan for this reason, because every time you do, it as pollutes the stream that's already started with pollution to begin with. But many saints today are polluting the river of God. But its source is pure. And therefore the blood of Christ keeps it purified for the life of the man who puts his trust in it. We'll see that too. You see, you can begin to see as this flower blooms, the answer and the reason. How many times have you said, why did this happen to me, Lord? I'm above that old guy over there running dope and all that. Look at him. He's living like a king. He's got Cadillac automobiles and he's got all the pretty gals in town. He's look at his clothes and he's eating top of the hog. Why? And here I am struggling along here trying to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, my best friend lets me down. My mother, who I love so much, so much of me, she dies. I don't see it ain't fair. There's a reason that we'll see too. He's the God of all what? Comfort. Yeah, he lets you know if you really want to know. But you see, you can't keep on fighting the battle alone. If you do, you're going to lose. You cannot win. Without me, you can do what? Absolutely nothing. When you learn that, you learned a wonderful lesson. Well, another thing is that they would live on herbs and fruit, as we said, and to till the garden and to keep it. Now, Adam, although he was made in the image of God, at this point in time, he had done nothing wrong that would carry a penalty. He probably was tending the tilling of the garden. But he slipped before he ever fell. That word keep means to guard. And to keep in mind now, he had a dominion over every living thing. He had the authority and the power. Dominion. To guard that garden against anything, no matter what it was, if it was alive. And evidently, Satan was pretty much alive. We know he was. The distinction between the fall of Satan and the fall of Adam is this. Satan's fall was the glory that he gave to Satan. He was the most beautiful angel ever created. He was the wisest of all the angelic world. Think about that. And that produced what? But it came from within him. It didn't come from without. It was to bless him. He turned that blessing into a curse. Hence, there's no redemption. You'll notice when Christ came down, it says he took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him what? The seed of Abraham. Because why? Because he was going to redeem man, but not Satan. Now, Adam's fall came from without. Somehow, Satan talked Adam into allowing him entry into that garden. Because he had the authority to keep him out. He had dominion. See? But God didn't place a penalty on that. His first thing he should have done was consult. Remember, we'll see that too. He walked every evening with Adam in the garden. They had fellowship. Instead of allowing Satan in there, this mighty angel, Satan persuaded him, evidently, to allow him to share in the beauty of the garden. He said, I'll be a real help to you. And he was a big wheel, you know. Even Michael, an angel of the same status, dared not bring an accusation against him. He was wise, remember? He was more subtle than any other creature outside of God. Some way, he got into the garden. And here's the laws of sowing and reaping. If a man sow, what? So shall he reap. And what did he know? Well, this fellow has been studying in the garden there. He's studying these two people, this man and woman. What does he find out about the woman before he ever talks to her? She's very curious. You hold a meeting down here with some subject, and that appeases, if, to make you unwise or desire to see, to improve yourself and all that. Go down to that meeting and find what you find out there. You'll find 90% of the audience are women. They're curious. You think Satan didn't catch that real quick? Now that rebellion has a penalty. So in the lesson next week, we'll be dealing with that fall. But it does have a penalty with it. And oh, what a penalty. And it's there in that rebellion that you begin to see why you can see why the woman was attacked and not the man. Because what the woman did was rebel because she was deceived. But what the man did, he did it with both his eyes open. And therefore death passed upon all the living creation of this planet. Adam is the daddy of it. Well, note carefully, though. His first rebellion was not in consulting God. And when you have a problem to face, what you should do, God gave you a will to choose. And whatever your choice is going to be, before you make that choice, you go to the great answer man and answer it. Tell you what to choose. Today, the curse of divorce has hit our nation like all over the world. Why? Because two people to get married today, because they have a chemical reaction to one another, and they commit to each other to get married. But you know, the person who has the authority to make marriage and bless it is God. I don't know how many people consult God before they get married, but if they don't, they're making a big mistake. You see, marriage is not a two-way street, it's a three-way street. A marriage that's committed to him will most likely succeed. Because God's going to take a hand in that sort of. But if a marriage is just made between a man and a woman because of a chemical reaction, and don't tell me that you don't have a chemical reaction, you're not that innocent. So you're not ready to get married unless you make your commitment to God. And when two people stand and are married, if they're not committed to God, I'll tell you, the chances of that marriage lasting is very slim. And the divorce courts prove it. See? That's 12 o'clock. Boy, we need to go on, but it's 12 o'clock. We're going to stop. You know, a lot of people say to me, well, we ought to go on. Well, there's a reason for that. I believe I'll get another chance with you. My wife don't think so. You can't. I'd stop her all the time. But you know, not only is that true, but it leaves you with a hunger. And even the commercial world knows that. I remember the old Nickelodeons, Pearl White and all that crowd. And the hero was hanging on the cliff. There was no way of escape. You had to come back next week with that nickel to get in to see what happened. And of course, he always got a. That's another factor. Leave the people hungry. And don't, when they do come, try to give them some meat. Don't give them a lot of horseradish. Horseradish is all right to sprinkle on food, but it's not much good to eat by itself. Father, we thank you for the word. We pray now as we commit it to your hand, it'll accomplish your purpose. And we thank you for this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.